please join me in our prayer for illumination, which is in your, whatever this is called.
Bulletin,
thank you. Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our scripture today is from Acts, first chapter, verses 1 through 14, and I'm going to be reading from the Inclusive New Testament, which will sound a little bit different from your pew Bible. In my earlier account, Theophilus, I dealt with everything that Jesus had done and taught, from the beginning until the day he was taken up, after he had given instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After the Passion, Jesus appeared alive to the apostles, confirmed through many convincing proofs over the course of 40 days, and spoke to them about the reign of God. On one occasion, Jesus told them not to leave Jerusalem. Wait, rather, for what God has promised, of which you have heard me speak, Jesus said. John baptized with water, but within a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. While meeting together, they asked, "Has the time come, Rabbi? Are you going to restore sovereignty to Israel?" Jesus replied, "It is not for you to know times or dates that God has decided. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, even to the ends of the earth." Having said this, Jesus was lifted up in a cloud before their eyes and taken from their sight. They were still gazing up into the heavens when two messengers dressed in white stood beside them. "You Galileans, why are you standing there looking up in the skies?" they asked. "Jesus, who has been taken from you, the same Jesus will return in the same way you watched him go into heaven." So the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a mere Sabbath's walk away. Entering the city, they went upstairs to the upstairs room where they were staying. Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, begot of Alphaeus, Simon, a member of the Zealot sect, and Judah, begot of Jacob. Also in their company were some women who followed Jesus, his mother Mary and some of Jesus' sisters and brothers. With one mind, they devoted themselves to constant prayer. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alle, 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 alleluia. Alle, alle, alle.
Various silly contexts to declare that I am Southern California. I'm also Southern Baptist by birth and training, and there are some similarities in these two traits, some aspects of my Southernness that are deeply ingrained. For one thing, it took me a long time to get the hang of weather, any weather. The little valley just north of Los Angeles that I spent my first two decades stays a fairly even 65, 70 degrees. A little wind, a little rain, kind of all year long spring. Which may sound kind of nice, but it's actually really nice. But since moving to New York 20 years ago, I have so loved learning the rhythm of the seasons. I'm still not good at dressing myself for heat or cold, and I complain all year long. But it makes the passing of the year feel more real. To feel the change of seasons in your body is a comforting marker of life lived, and a promise that whatever's happening now, something else is coming. Though you may curse the dirty snow and icy sidewalks, you know that you will see tulips in those sidewalk planters soon. In the heart of January, you know that July will come, and you will be sweating through two changes of clothes and cursing that too. I don't think people who grew up with seasons can understand what it's like not to have them and what a revelation it is to discover them. For those of you who don't know this, Baptists do not hold with the church calendar. There are no liturgical seasons in my grandfather's Southern Baptist Church. There was only Easter, with a short break for the baby Jesus, and then right back to Easter. It was one year-long altar call. Anything else would have been suspiciously Catholic. But I love the church calendar. In my adult years, in more liturgical communities like this one, I have found so much meaning in the annual deliberate progress toward Easter that we've just walked. From the reminder of our mortality that is Ash Wednesday, through the 40-day meditative journey of Lent, the ending in the passionate and dark drama that is Holy Week. And then, finally, just as we're seeing little green buds on winter's naked trees, and as though we deserve it after all that labor, the celebration of spring can be such a soul party. Wasn't last week fun? For me, there is such a visceral connection between watching the children chase each other and gather plastic eggs and the happy declaration that Christ is risen. Alleluia. The true pagan joy in spring and fertility, creation and resurrection that Easter has been since long before we were calling it Easter. Of course, our own lives rarely follow easy calendars. As I like to say it, the winter of our discontent can flatten us in August, and the relationship that changes the course of our lives can blossom in February. In the same way, the church calendar isn't a blueprint for the spiritual life. It isn't trying to impose on us a meditative journey that requires an introspective, soul-searching process, all of us together in the 40 days before Easter. But the fact that we walk through the Lenten rituals together, speaking the prayers, singing the hymns together, is like practice. We rehearse the journey of Lent every year in our liturgy. And then one day, when the Lent of our soul hits us, when we find ourselves lost in our own desert, reeling from hunger and thirst, chased by the voices of our own relentless demons, maybe those prayers come back to us. Maybe the hymns are comfort to us. And especially the bone-deep knowledge that we are not alone, that we have a community that wants to walk with us, even in this deep, dark journey. And that this, too, is a season. I think the lesson of the seasons is more than just that they end. It's that something new is coming, that this is just part of the journey. So now we're in the season of Easter, 40 days of Pentecost, mirroring 40 days of Lent. These are days of waiting. Jesus in our text today is eating with his friends. Picture it here for a minute. Here is a group of men and women who have hitched their lives to this dynamic rabbi. Some of them have been traveling with him for years. And each of them had their own hopes, their own agendas, for what this mystic and teacher would bring to their lives. Some of them believed he would bring a political revolution. Others, I think, hoped for a restoration of religious devotion in Israel. And still others wanted nothing more than to continue to be with him, to continue feeling the way he made them feel, unconditionally welcomed into the realm of God, a beloved member of a community, probably for the first time in their lives. And all of them had their hopes, prayers, and agendas utterly destroyed when he was executed by the state as a dissident. They must have experienced such complete despair. They had been so hopeful, and it was all over. Each of them was faced with the death of their hope. But then, unbelievably, impossibly, miraculously, their hope was restored. Here he is, sitting down for a meal with them, talking with them again the way he had before. So what do these newly hopeful people ask him? Exactly what I would. Now, Jesus? Now can we drive out the Romans? Now can we build the realm of God here on earth? Jesus says, sorry. Not for us to know when that'll happen. Instead, he says, wait. Wait in Jerusalem. Wait right here for the promise of God. And that promise is nothing less than God's presence with them. It's quite a promise. Isn't that what we all crave? On some level, what we're searching for? An experience of the unconditional love of the divine. God's Spirit with us. It's what mystics in all the world's faith traditions over generations have sought, often walking away from their lives out into deserts to seek an encounter with the Spirit of creation. And Jesus tells his people, it's coming. It's promised. Not many days from now, but wait here. So what would it mean for us in this season of waiting to wait for the Holy Spirit? Is that even what we want? To be baptized, as Jesus says? Not with water, but by the very Spirit of God. What would that involve? If an experience of God is what we crave, how do we find it? Do we need to leave our lives, walk out into a desert, or a yoga retreat center, or monastery? Do we have to be silent, virtuous, vegetarian? I have an idea that one way to think about waiting is to really think about where and how and what we are and what we are doing right now. Maybe the practice of waiting for God would involve being open to experiencing God in the messiness of our lives today. Not to go somewhere else to seek, not to launch a revolution or a massive self-improvement project or even read a book. Maybe the practice is really to listen to our kid when they're telling us a story. Maybe to really look in the eyes just for a moment of the person who's just poured us a cup of coffee. Maybe God is right there. Maybe you don't have to find the vocation, the calling, the great task that you alone are meant to do. Maybe God's work is the work you're doing right now. And if you focus on it, if you give it your attention, maybe you will begin to see it as participating in creation. Maybe by being open to honestly encountering the people who cross your path today, you're opening a space there for the Holy Spirit, a gap for the divine to break in. I believe that God is waiting for us, that God is always looking for a way in. The energy of creation is present in every moment, but waits for us. That God never pushes, manipulates, cannot make us change, but rather lures us, calls us, invites us to participate in life, to go deeper, to experience more fully this moment. Waiting can be a spiritual practice. Giving your attention deeply and generously to what you are doing right now, waiting for God, and finding God there, waiting for you. In the church calendar, we don't get to Pentecost, to the story of the disciples receiving the baptism of the Spirit, for another 6 weeks. We celebrate Easter for 40 days, and only then does the promise that Jesus makes here get fulfilled. Spring in the East Coast, as we know, is fickle. Those newly budded cherry blossoms are taking a hit this morning with that cold wind. But that's part of it. Summer will come. You know that, not just logically, but because you've experienced it over and over. We've practiced. Nevertheless, today is what we have. Today is where we can encounter each other, ourselves, and God. That is worth practicing too. Amen.